Good news today is from the Apostle John in his letter we call 1 John. This is a test letter and a reassurance letter. The test is love and obedience are signals or evidence that we know God. The phrase know God or we know or you know is listed 37 times in 1 John. And there's an attack there on Gnosticism, which said to know God, you have to have a higher knowledge. And John is saying to know God, know Jesus, love His commandments, follow Him in that way. So Jesus in you brings forth love and obedience. The warning part of the test that John gives in 1 John is to beware of false teachers, false gods, which the Bible calls idols. Idols are all around us. We have idols of the mind that we make up. We have idols that we feel we need in order to be close to God. And those are the idols that are the more subtle ones. And so part of the reassurance letter before we look at the test is that we know. The we know part is really a part of the test. And here are some verses that God gives us in 1 John here. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commandments. A good test. Do I know God? Then I love what He has to say. Your will and your actions are always going to follow your heart. You think of a simple illustration. Let's say you love from your heart chocolate ice cream, virtually from your heart. Or should we say you really like chocolate ice cream from your heart. And you hate Tutti Frutti ice cream. Rightfully so. And so you go to the ice cream store and you order, much to everybody's surprise, give me a gallon of Tutti Frutti ice cream. And everybody looks at you, how could you? You're not going to commit yourself to that, are you? You're not going to continue in the path that you hate. You would say, no, I won't. I got to get back to the chocolate because that's where my love is. And so you as a Christian, we love God. And we love the things of God, His Word, His commandment. Our heart is going to be like a magnet going towards that. Even if there's sin that we fall down in, it won't be sin that we practice or commit to. So we don't want to be committed to sin, to rather be committed to God. We know also this is the last hour, history coming to a close. All of you know the truth. Emphasis on all the people who would know God. Know the truth. We know what love is. Jesus sacrificed His life for us, and so we give our lives for one another. The Christian life, a test of it, is really a one for all and all for one mentality. Okay, the responsibility we have for each other. That's a test. Love for the brothers, that you really know God. I noticed that was a change in my life, still is a change. Before knowing Christ, really didn't give two pennies for many people in my life. After meeting Christ, without saying, oh, now I want to love a lot of people, God began to help me to love a lot of people. It's just in a simple way, knowing the great love He has. And then we know we belong to the truth. That test there in chapter 3, verse 19 was because people were willing to lay down their life for one another. So that's, again, how do you know that you belong to the truth? You're willing to put your life out for others. Very practical book here in 1 John. And he continues on the we know. I'm not going to list all 37. But we know He lives in us. The assurance Christ lives in you. Everyone who loves knows God. Practical truth, again, away from the Gnostic, I know, rather, I know by the actions. And everyone who loves knows God. We have that one. We know we live in Him. What a blessing that is. We know and rely on the love God has for us. Remember that we're saved by what Jesus did for us, His love for us, not our love for Him. Your love for God can't save you. Not strong enough. Too weak. It's too disobedient. It's too inconsistent. Okay, it's God's love for you that allows us to put our trust in Him and love him back over time. So last one, real important. You may know that you have eternal life. That's a good question to ask people around us who are from different faith backgrounds. The other day I Googled the question, how can a blank, and I just filled in the religious group, can a blank know that they are going to heaven? Okay, you just fill in the blank, who friends and neighbors who might have a certain faith. And I was surprised that almost every grouping said, no, you can't know that you're going to heaven, with the exception of those who would trust in Jesus. They can know they're going to heaven. Okay, and that, and then sadly, there are very huge gatherings of Christians, not to pick on them, because they're dear, I think, brothers and sisters. For example, if you in the Roman Catholic Church or in the Orthodox Church, the official teaching is, no, you cannot know that you're going to heaven. Okay, and that's something you can introduce your friend to who is Catholic or Orthodox, Roman Catholic or Orthodox, and say, hey, look at what God says. All the things you can know that you have life forever with God. And it will be a help to them. When the guy showed me this for the first time when I was still worshiping in a happened to be a Byzantine Catholic church, it really was a opening of my eyes. So Christ, I can know him now and forever as a gift. And so, good news. We know. And the things that will trip us up would be idols or things we put before God in order to get to God. Another term for idols, I think. And so, Jesus, for example, in his word, contrasted the wise and learned to little children. This was the praise he gave in Matthew chapter 11. He said, I thank you, Lord, that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. That would be those who were didn't know much in the faith or even of, you know, kind of a small age, infant all the way up to, well, I don't know what, 5 or 6 would be considered a little child, I would think. And if somebody were to ask you, do you consider yourself wise and learned? Or a little child? I think most of us would say, wise and learned, of course. You know, little children, that's what I was 30 years ago, 60 years ago, whatever case may be. But now, wise and learned, of course. Ask these graduates, they'll probably be more honest. Ask a young person graduating from high school, do you feel like, how would you describe yourself now, wise and learned, or a little child? They'd probably say, little child, because I'm facing everything new at this point. I'm going back and sitting in a math class, that's for sure. Everything's new. Jesus said, praise you, Father in heaven, you've hidden things from the wise and learned. That would be the Gnostic, I know certain things, versus a little child who say, I trust the one who is God. Okay, and so you identify before God with being a little child. In 1 John, the phrase little children or dear children, NIV kind of doesn't do the phrase good there, but little children is mentioned 9 times as John addresses his the people. Hey, little children. You go to the teenagers and you're giving devotions to the teenagers and you say, little children, let's pray together. They would say, oh, that's right, that's right. The way I feel like most of them do. Or the youth group, or the 8:30 service, or whatever. The Sunday school class, if you're a teacher, you should address them. You know, little children, let's open to 1 John. And they'll say, that's us. That's right. And so here's what God's word says about God's people. Little children, he writes us so that we will not sin. God wants us to move away from that which hurts him, keeps us from loving, which is sin, rebellion against God. Little children, you have known the Father. What a wonderful assurance that is, to be able to know God. Little children, your sins have been forgiven. You can run with that verse through the town. and say, look, this can be true about you. If you put your trust in the Lord, you'll be a little child of His. Okay, and little children, continue in Him. Keep walking with your dear Father in heaven. Here's some more. Little children, here's a good one. Let's not love with words, but in truth and action. Okay, here's again, moving away from Christianity is all up here to really Christianity is all about how can I love the person right in front of me. Little children, you have overcome them. Who's them? Any group that's in the power of the evil one. Because, next verse, right after this, next phrase, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. So even little children, you might be young in the faith. Hey, God gives you a victory over the devil, over evil, and Christ in you is greater than all that evil coming at us. And then this last phrase, which really the remainder of the sermon is, little children, keep yourself from idols. Idols. A lot about knowing, a lot about being a little child. Love, big theme also in the letter, but also keep yourself from idols. What's an idol? An idol would be a substitute for God. What's a substitute for God in our lives? Even a little child in danger of substitute for God. A counterfeit way to know God. Okay. What's the counterfeit way to know God? Thinking of idols in my own mind, heart, and culture. Not gladly, but I probably worship 10,000 different idols at one time or another. And an idol is really taking any part of God's good creation, flowers, and just like committing my life to that. Okay. Make it not so, not so impressive as flowers. Work. Some people make work an idol. People. Some people make other people an idol. I don't feel close to God unless I am with. You fill in the blank. Okay. For the people John wrote to, I don't feel close to, or people may say, I don't feel close to God unless I get this higher knowledge. Little children, keep yourself from idols. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us. So we lay down our lives for one another. So God's Word points us back to God, warns us of idols, any part of creation that we would magnify, and at the same time reduce the importance of God Himself. Think of this example. You walk into a man's office at his place of business, and you see pictures of 100 women on the wall. Okay, they're all over the office. And you say, wow, look at this. Who are these people? Are these all your family members or sisters or who are they? He said, oh, no, these are people who remind me of my wife. Okay? My wife is up there somewhere. But these are people who remind me of my wife. And the more I look at them, the more I appreciate my wife. And in fact, I can't really feel close to my wife unless I'm looking at some of these other pictures. Okay? You would say, you would be surprised at that testimony, but you would probably say to the guy, one thing I know for sure, you don't love your wife. You don't love your wife. You love all these other factors, people who you think are absolutely necessary for you to love your wife. Okay. And God would say to us, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us. And so we love God by keeping His commandments and loving others. Beware the way you think you have to get close to God. In the Bible, it's Jesus only. For people who are fooled by idols, it's other things in creation. Again, sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's things. Sometimes it's styles of worship. I can't feel close to God unless we... The answer is, have Jesus. See, He is the mediator, the one mediator between God and man. Not a person, okay? Not an experience. Christ Himself, not a higher knowledge that they were fighting against. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Remember what Aaron did at the encouragement of the people? Get that golden calf made. So Aaron built an altar, and in front of the altar he put the golden calf. And he said, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So it wasn't like Aaron saying, see this calf right here, this is God Almighty. But what he was saying was, this golden calf really is an image of God. And it'll get you close to God. Okay. And it's almost like the calf brought you out of Egypt. So for us, God would ask us in that last verse, keep yourself from idols. What is my golden calf? What is my golden calf that I create in my mind that I think, I need this to know God, to know Christ, to be at peace with God? What is it? If the answer is not Jesus, God's one and only Son, then it's an idol that needs to be put back under God. And the idol won't help you. And so the Lord's faithful to meet us when we're shown what our idols are. I thought of idols that easily beset believers today and people around us. Certainly the idol of self is a problem. Be a good exercise. Put a tape recorder on yourself and go throughout the day. It's too bad you can't do it with our thoughts. But listen to how many times you refer to yourself in your conversation. Okay. Are you the subject of every sentence? Are you the theme of every paragraph? You know what? The idol of self, it's not a good idol. It's a tyrant. It takes us away from God. And so, humorously, someone would say, die to your selfie. Okay? The most photographs I have of anybody is me. That would be unhealthy. Okay. Die to yourself. Next idol, which is very common, would be popularity. Sometimes we look for security in relationships. Popularity is an idol that can get people. That's not good. Success could be an idol to put under God. Money is an idol, certainly for most of the culture, and God had to warn us, the love of money is the root of all evil. We often look for money and comfort. We look for comfort, safety, and pleasure in money, which really, again, the stewardship seminar, it's like a hammer or a saw used to honor God and bless others. Sexuality can be an idol. It's big in the commercial industry for sure. Causes people to think that's the source of joy or happiness in life. And even, I don't know if it's a helpful illustration, but you'll remember this illustration. And it had to do with outward appearance. That's the key. When I was helping the office send out some postcards for the church to invite us to certain events, not us, but the community. And I remember saying to poor Cindy, you know, get some photographs and pick the photographs of really, this is bad, of really good-looking people. Okay? And there you go. And some of you are wondering, hey, I wasn't in that photograph. You know. But that would be, if we just went with that, you know. Oh, this is what it means to know God. That's the church with all the good-looking people. I saw it on the postcard, you know. And if your picture wasn't on there, don't worry. We'll have a postcard of just regular people. Okay, you'll be in there. Some of you need to feel regular, I think. But anyway, got to watch for sex appeal. Oh, that's the key, you know. That's the key in life. That's the key in relationships and so on. Power is also an idol. How much of life can I control? We know we can surrender to God. That's our opportunity. But watch. Ask yourself, what is my golden calf? What do I think? I need this or I won't know God. I need this or I won't follow Jesus. You need Jesus or you won't follow Jesus. Okay? He's the image of the invisible God. He is. And you can't know God without Jesus. You can't. I remember the atheist who read the Gospels. He wasn't even sure there was a God. But after reading the Gospels, he says, oh my, if there is a God, I hope he's like this Christ fellow. And what a joy he would have if he would say, yeah, he's God who came. He would trade in his idols for the true and living God. Compare Jesus to your idols. And this is to honor God at this point. What good thing has your idol ever done for you? Be they a person, place, or thing. What good thing has your idol ever done for you? Have they given you the gift of life? No, they haven't. Jesus gave you the gift of life. Did they give you health when you were sick many times and felt like you were going to die many times? Did your idol help you? Not at all. It was Jesus who helped you. When you wept, did your idol keep a record of your tears in his book and say, this is important to me? No, your idol didn't. Jesus did for you. Who gave you every good and perfect gift you ever had? Was it your idol? No, it was Jesus who did. Who listened to your every prayer? In a car, in a store, at home, in the sanctuary. Was it your idol? No, it was Jesus. Who wiped away every tear from your eyes? It was no idol. It was Jesus. Who forgave every sin you ever had? Gave his life for every sin you will have. When guilt was killing you, who helped you? Was it your idol? No, it was Jesus. Did your idols prepare a place for you in heaven and really want you to be there with them? No, Jesus did. Why bother with your idols? Why bother with them when they leave you so empty? When Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, would come and offer himself to you as the Good Shepherd, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. And God is the peace you're looking for. He is the satisfaction in your life. And even as people who walk with the Lord, little children, this is to stop you from sinning. And this is to keep you from idols. And you've overcome the evil one. And let's not love just with words, but in deed and in truth. And God is faithful to nourish his people on his dear son. And we're thankful for good news from the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for loving us today. Probably in the course of a week, we do feel like little children in need of you, which really we are, to an everlasting God. We may be wise in our own eyes or wise and learned with our peers, but not before you. So help us to put our trust in you, to say, Jesus, you're the one who delivers us from idols and from sin, because you're so good and your glory fills the whole earth. Give closeness, Lord, to yourself, to each one through your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.